Hello, and welcome to Soothing Pod Sleep Stories. My name is Laura, and tonight I will be your guide as we journey back in time to beautiful Prince Edward Island, where we will soothe our souls with the classic romance between Gilbert and Anne of Green Gables. Before we begin, however, let us take a moment to relax and find comfort in the space that we are in, here and now. Allow yourself to find a comfortable position on your mattress. Here and now, there is nothing to do but relax and simply be. Close your eyes and relish in the feeling of your body sinking more and more and more into the mattress beneath you. With every breath you take into your lungs, feel as your body expands, then relaxes. Before we join Anne and Gil on Prince Edward Island, let us travel there ourselves first. Keeping your eyes closed, try and imagine yourself in a meadow. You're on a hill peppered with sweet grass, wild flowers and wheat. As an ocean breeze ripples through the grass around you, breathe in the sweetness and freshness of this vibrant meadow. Listen closely to the leaves as they brush against one another, rustling to create nature's finest symphony. In the distance over this hill, you can see an ocean. It sparkles in the sunlight, stretching on and on to the horizon. Is a swathe of soothing cerulean and navy. The briny, invigorating scent of the ocean fills you with a sense of peace and calm. Here on the island, away from the hustle and bustle of the city, you can truly rest and be still. Run your hands through the grass around you, feeling the gentle caress of the leaves and silky smooth petals as they bend and sway under your touch. There is no obligation here, no to-do list. You can simply be one with nature and be true to yourself. Now that we have taken the time to relax and find comfort in the space that we are in, here and now, let us begin. Anne was 11 the first time she set foot in Avonlea, a quaint, cozy farming community on Prince Edward Island. It had been quite some time since she had had a home, a real, true home, and she was excited to finally escape the orphanage and move somewhere where she could be free and happy. Anne was what many would call a free spirit, and it certainly showed on her ride to her new residence. She gazed out the window, blathering on and on and on about everything they passed by, musing about the people who lived in the cottages they were passing, weaving exciting, fantastical stories about the lives of the people who lived there. The driver nodded along, amused by the little girl's enthusiasm. For an orphan, she was especially cheery, and for a child, she was especially imaginative. When they finally arrived at Anne's new residence, she was delighted by what she saw. Unfortunately, for a split second, Her new parents did not feel the same way. Matthew and Marilla Cuthbert looked at the red-headed, cheery child on their doorstep with a look of utter confusion. The two were middle-aged siblings, and having never married, they ran a farm together. They wrote to the orphanage several weeks before, intending to adopt a young boy who'd also help them run their farm. Instead, due to a misunderstanding, they got Anne. At first, they were mentally preparing themselves to send Anne back. Marilla was a stern woman, and Matthew was rather quiet. But after observing Anne for a few days, their intention to send her back waned. Anne was a curious child, unlike any child they had ever seen before. And though she was a bit wild, blunt, and dramatic, they both felt drawn to her, appreciative of her. Anne settled into the town of Avonlea with a flourish. She was the kind of girl who ran through the streets, sprinkling her personality everywhere she went. It didn't take her much time at all to make friends with Diana Barry, the girl living next door, and it took even less time for her to catch the eye of a local boy, Gilbert Blythe, a boy about 2 years older than Anne, first spotted her at a town event. After a neck-and-neck three-legged race, Anne and Gilbert both fell to the ground with their respective partners. Gilbert laughed and gave Anne a wink as the two stumbled to their feet. Anne's new friend told her who Gilbert was, to which Anne replied, "I think your Gilbert Blythe is handsome, but I think he's very bold. It isn't good manners to wink at a strange girl." And truly, things were only about to get stranger for Anne. At school the next day, Gilbert sat next to her in class. Unbeknownst to Anne, there was a spark in Gil the moment that he saw her. Her striking red hair, the way she talked about the world to her friends, it all drew him in, making him look at her in a way he had never looked at a girl before. Desperately wanting her attention, but unsure of how to get it. The particularly playful Gil reached over and gently pulled on Anne's pigtail with a charming smile on his face. "Hey, carrots," he said to her, his voice silky smooth. But Gil was unaware that Anne was not a fan of her red hair. Actually, she considered her bright, red, beautiful hair to be a curse. Thinking that Gil was making fun of her, Anne rose to her feet, lifting her slate over her head and slamming it down over Gil's head, breaking the slate. Gil sat there in shock as Anne raced off, wounded and embarrassed. He couldn't understand what he did wrong, and he wondered if this girl with the beautiful red hair would ever forgive him. When Anne's friend Diana caught up with her, asking about what happened with Gilbert, Anne replied rather spitefully, "I shall never forgive Gilbert Blythe. An iron has entered my soul, Diana. My mind is made up. My red hair is a curse." And for the next few years, Anne stayed true to that statement. On more than one occasion, Gil tried to apologize, but he was met by silence from Anne. She had decided Gil was her enemy, a boy she would never forgive or interact with again. And yet, There was a softness in her heart for him. As they progressed through school, it became clear that Anne and Gil were the most intelligent students. They found themselves in frequent battles for the top spot in class, bickering about assignments, and often trying to one-up each other. And through it all, they tried desperately to keep the other one from catching their gaze. On occasion, Anne would find herself gazing at Gil as he worked on his slate. Whenever he got to a particularly hard question, he would run his hands through his hair and bite the edge of his lip, as if that would somehow make the answer leap out at him. Gil was a charming boy. He had a light in his eyes and a comedic yet authentic nature about him that drew you in. And though Anne tried to deny it, deep down, she was drawn to him as well. Little did she know, across the classroom, Gil was doing the exact same thing. Anytime Anne's gaze was locked on her work or nestled in a book, Gil would steal a glance at her. He had never seen a girl like her before. Her vibrant red hair was always plaited around her shoulders, falling down in long tendrils. She would absent-mindedly grab the end of her braids sometimes and fiddle with them, her fingers nimbly untying and retying them. Gil thought her hair was beautiful. The fiery nature of it matched her dramatic, passionate, vibrant personality. There was no one on this earth more suited for that hair than Anne herself. And yet, she hated it. During many classes, Gil would find his eyes locked on her rather than his work. Whenever she raised her hand or asked a question, he would cling to the words she uttered, like they were music to his ears. He didn't know it back then, as a young boy, but he was in love with her, in love with this stubborn, larger-than-life girl who had cracked a slate over his head and found his winking a bit too bold for her liking. For several years, it went on like this. Though Anne didn't forgive Gil, they did begin to interact more and more. As they grew older, their studies got more intense, and the competition between the students began to intensify. Anne and Gil were often neck and neck, trying to get answers out first, trying to be the first ones to finish their test. They thought that no one else noticed their rivalry, but it was plain to see. Gil's friends often teased him about the things he talked about, like radios, technology, medicine, biology, poetry. They told him that the only person who understood what he was talking about half the time was Anne, and they were correct. Unfortunately, Gil could only have conversations like this with Anne on occasion. But over time, that began to change. One day, Anne partook in one of her ill-fated schemes. Anne was a girl who was extremely intelligent. But with that intelligence, there was a bit of impulsivity. She wasn't always the one to think things through. And on one sunny summer afternoon, that truly showed. Anne set sail in a tiny boat on the town creek as part of some fun with her friends. She lay on her back, pretending to be a woman from a play. As she set sail, she found herself smiling. She loved the feel of the fresh summer breeze on her face, of the air brushing against her skin. She was a people person, but these quiet moments in nature were some of her favourites. She relished the beauty of this landscape and felt that the woods and hills and meadows on the island were her home. But nature can be unforgiving, and she is always full of surprises. Anne felt cool water on her back. She realised within seconds that the boat was sinking, and as it began to disappear into the water, her friends ran to get help. The water was cool and refreshing to the touch. The current began to whisk Anne away, though she stayed above the surface with ease. As she went past a wooden pile from a dock on the river, Anne reached out, clinging to the wood for safety. She clung to the bridge as the water continued onto the ocean all around her. Her beautiful white dress was dripping with river water, and her ginger hair was a rich auburn from the waves. She wondered how long she would have to hold on there, if she would have to hold on there forever. And then she heard someone paddling nearby. When she looked up, she wasn't exactly pleased to see Gil rowing toward her. She gritted her teeth and tried to keep a straight face, not wanting her rival to be her saviour. Little did she know, in that boat, Gil's heart was thrumming in his chest. He had seen the boat sink, and he desperately wanted, no, needed, Anne to be all right. He saw the look in Anne's eyes, the frustration and annoyance that he was the one rowing up to her. He gave her a charming smile and dared to ask, Anne Shirley, what the heck are you doing down there? Avoiding his eyes, Anne coldly replied, fishing for lake trout. Without saying another word, Gil extended his hand to Anne to help her into his boat. As they touched, their eyes met. Though both of them would deny it, there were sparks that flew between them. There was an undeniable connection on a deep level, one that would follow them through the rest of their lives together. As Gil rowed them toward the meadow on the far shore, he couldn't help but tease Anne a little bit. He told her that it seemed as though he had rescued her from the river. Anne replied in her calm, cool demeanour yet again, telling Gil that help was already on the way, and that she was simply, patiently, waiting for it to arrive. But both of them knew better. Even out here, in the warm sunshine, Anne was quivering slightly from the adrenaline of the experience, and the cold water. Knowing she wouldn't accept his jacket, even if she was freezing to death, Gil did what he could to turn the boat so as to block the wind from hitting Anne. Finally, they arrived on shore. Anne gave Gil a rather insecure thank you, but Gil couldn't deny the feelings welling inside him any longer. He couldn't continue this childish rivalry. He wanted something else entirely. He apologised to Anne for calling her carrots when they first met. He confessed that he only called her that to get her attention, because he so desperately wanted to talk to her. For the first time ever, Anne told Gil how much his words had hurt her. It was something she was always self-conscious about, something she got picked on for at the orphanage. And it was the first thing he ever said to her. Gil understood her pain and frustration, but asked if they could move past that now. Couldn't they be friends now? Anne began to run into the field. Wheat and sweet grass whipped by her as she ran, holding her wet dress up around her ankles. Gil watched her, silhouetted by the high sun, as she darted off to let her friends know she had been rescued. She glanced over her shoulder and with a weak smile told Gil, "You're clever. Can't you figure that out?" When Anne showed up among her friends to let them know that she had survived, she was forced to give the story of how she had made it out. Her friends giggled with delight, telling Anne that it was one of the most romantic stories they had ever heard. Though Anne felt that warmth in her heart, she wasn't quite ready to face it yet. She urged her friends to never use the word romance when they mentioned her and Gil again. However, the feelings Gil had grew and grew. Soon, he and Anne were spending even more time together. They were reassigned into an advanced class of students pursuing college, so they studied together for an hour every single day. But in that class, their intellectual rivalry was rekindled. When they took part in their entrance exams, the two spent countless hours wondering who would get the higher score. When the newspaper finally arrived publishing the scores, Anne and Gil were both surprised and delighted to see that they had tied for first place. And with that tie for first place and the school year in their sleepy town ending, their lives were about to change forever. Anne and Gil, as well as almost all of the other students from their class, were accepted to Queen's College to earn their teaching license. Anne was thrilled by the opportunity, although a bit nervous. Prior to officially moving to and attending college, she was invited to read a poem at an extravagant event. Happily, Anne agreed. Gilbert offered to officially escort her to the event, but Anne turned him down, her childhood rivalry stopping her judgment short. Anne attended the event with the other students from her school, including Gilbert. Everyone was dressed in their finest clothes, and excitement was running high. But Anne was not prepared to see the city women that were in attendance. They wore dresses of silk, with diamond jewellery and fur boleros. Anne was wearing a simple white dress and a string of pearls, the nicest things she owned. Right before giving her presentation, all the extravagance and glamour around her made Anne feel small and unimportant. Her confidence waned as she took the stage. But there, sitting in the front row, was her salvation. Gil sat before her, staring up at her with admiration, as though she was the sun. He smiled at her, his eyes glistening with pride and appreciation. And in that gaze, the gaze of her rival, whom she was starting to fall for, Anne found strength. She delivered the poem beautifully, without missing a beat. When she reached the last line of the poem, her eyes drifted up to Gil once more, who was leaning forward in his seat as he clung to every single word she uttered. When Anne finished, Gil leapt to his feet, giving her a standing ovation. At that moment, no one else in the room mattered. The women in silk and pearls and furs, the old men who saw more money in a week than she saw in a lifetime. The people on her school board, they were all just faces in the crowd. She felt as though the entire poem had been read just for Gil to hear. A few weeks later, they arrived at college. And in those initial weeks of loneliness and doubt and insecurity, they had each other. Though they didn't always speak to one another, they frequently looked for each other's face in a crowd simply to comfort themselves. They knew they had one another if they ever needed it. If one of them was clinging to a peer, the other would rescue them with no hesitation. By their second year of college, their interactions became more frequent, and it was hard to deny the attraction between them. Everyone could see the sparks flying every time they spoke, even when they bickered over schoolwork or their opinions on the world. Gradually, Gil began to drop his facade. He knew he was in love with Anne, and there was no more denying it. He could not hide from his feelings any longer. Anne, on the other hand, wasn't ready yet to admit her feelings for Gil. She thought romance was supposed to be like it was in her books. That one day, she would be whisked away by some tall, dark, handsome stranger who would show her what love was truly about. Anne didn't believe that her feelings for Gil, the deep understanding, the connection, the comfortableness, could actually be love. Not like the love she read about, anyway. One rainy afternoon, Gil and Anne walked with one another back to their dorms. Gil fiddled with his hands nervously. A question he had been dying to ask for quite some time was spinning in his mind, and he could no longer hold it in. He asked Anne if she would marry him. The question hung in the air for far too long before Anne finally began to answer. She held Gil's hand and kindly told him that she loved him, but she didn't think she loved him in that way. Gil was visibly disappointed by her answer. From then on, their relationship became awkward, even uncomfortable. And with this unexpected distance between them, Anne began to rethink the answer she gave to Gil. Soon after graduation, however, Gil fell ill with typhoid fever. Terrified by the thought of losing him, Anne rushed to his side. In her mind, she went through every interaction they had ever had. She remembered the wink he gave her when they were kids, and the time she broke a slate over his head, and the time he came to her rescue in the boat. And the time he was the only person that mattered in the audience. And now, waiting in the hallway to hear if he was going to survive, she realized that he was the only person who she truly wanted to be with. When the doctor came out, telling Anne that Gil was going to survive, Anne was incredibly relieved. From that point forward, Anne was no longer cold to Gil. She realized that the strong bond she felt to Gil, that she had thought was friendship, was absolutely, without a doubt, true love. After Gil's illness, he and Anne spent every moment possible together. Finally, they could look at one another without having to steal glances, without having to endure witty remarks if they were ever caught. It was a glorious, brilliant time in their lives. But there was something looming on the horizon. Gil wanted to become a doctor, and with 3 years of medical school ahead of him, their lives together were about to become challenging and distant. but Gil couldn't bear the thought of that. One day, the two went for a walk in a garden and paused in the gazebo, taking in the sights around them. They spoke of their childhood, of their plans for the future, of all the wonderful memories that they had together. And then, Gil couldn't hide behind his feelings any longer. He told Anne that he was going away to medical school for 3 years, but he couldn't bear the thought of being away from her without knowing what their relationship would become. He proposed to her once more, declaring his love for her. He told Anne he couldn't offer her diamond sunbursts or marble halls, but he could love her until the day she dies. With a smile, Anne responded, "I don't want sunbursts or marble halls. I just want you." The two embraced, brushing their lips together. The kiss sent warm feelings of connection and love and appreciation surging through their bodies. After years of quarreling, years of hiding their feelings, the truth was finally out. And from that point forward, their relationship was simply one of mutual respect, love, and brilliant communication. Anne wrote to Gil every single day he was away, and he waited anxiously for her letters to brighten his week, just as she had brightened the town when she had first moved there all those years ago. When Gilbert returned, the two got married in a ceremony that nearly the entire town attended. As they said their vows, happy tears rolled down over Anne's cheeks. Gilbert reached up, brushing them away with a comforting smile. He promised Anne that as his wife, she would only ever cry happy tears. The two moved to the nearby town of Glen St. Mary, where Gilbert took over his uncle's medical practice. There, the two got settled into their very first home, a home which Anne lovingly referred to as their house of dreams. And truly, it was a house of dreams. Every morning, Anne would awaken to her loving husband beside her. Most mornings, she would roll on her side and simply watch him for a few moments. He was so at peace when he slept, his dark curls draped on his forehead. She wondered what he was dreaming about. For so long, they had both dreamt of having exactly what they had right now. Then she would go down to the kitchen and prepare a nice breakfast for the two of them to share. Usually over breakfast, they would talk about current events, or read books to one another, or tell old stories. They were not just a couple. They were, really and truly, best friends. They had watched one another grow, watching one another change and evolve as the years passed. And they knew with certainty that as New Year's passed, the love they had for one another was only going to grow and grow. They always made sure to spend a fair amount of time at the breakfast table together before they started their day. It was the most sacred part of their day, the part of their day that reminded them of the most important things in love. Those we love, and those who love us. As Gilbert went off to work for the day, Anne would plant a goodbye kiss on his cheek. The simple kiss would put a smile on his face that lingered all the way to his office. And often, on that walk, he found himself thinking of Anne, the little red-haired girl who broke the slate over his head. The woman who made his life so much sweeter and more vibrant and worth living. And every single day, Gilbert was immensely grateful for it. I hope this story has helped you reach a night of restful and peaceful sleep. Please join me again tomorrow for another sleep story. Until then, sweet dreams.